Are you ready to be connected? You're listening to the Insured Connection Podcast by Pika Group, a pro assurance company, where we provide expert advice for your practice when you need it most. We connect you with industry leaders to discuss timely topics so you can listen, learn, and get back to caring for your patients. Now, let's connect.
So hello, everyone. Thank you so much for joining. I'm your host, Dr. Adrienne Ross. I know you enjoy our episodes here on the Insured Connection. Just as a warm welcome to any new listeners, that this is basically a podcast where we bring on, you know, everything from our PICA attorneys to our PICA physicians to our PICA staff members, really just trying to pull back the blinds and really kind of get an idea of kind of who we are and who are the lives that we're impacting. From all the way from the clinician, you know, talking about kind of, you know, wellness to foreign languages, how it impacts kind of who they are. So we cover a large range of topics here. But I am honored to say that I have my colleague and dear friend, Dr. Joshua Wilder. He is amazing. Dr. Wilder, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, I appreciate you having me on here. This is great. Thanks, Adrienne. I appreciate you.
Absolutely. So for those of, you know, the listeners that don't know who you are, I'm going to give a snippet. And then I really do want you to kind of toot your horn a little bit, because that really does go in line with what we're talking about. So obviously, you work at Emory, you know, you train with Emory residents. You've been here now for how long? How many years have you been over here part of Emory?
I've been a part of Emory since 2019. I did my fellowship with Dr. Kamasta at Emory. Which is a pediatric and adult reconstruction fellowship. And then after that, I joined Emory and I decided to stay. It's been a great ride. Absolutely.
Wonderful. Sure. Yeah, you've been in private practice at ankle and foot centers, and you've done a lot. I mean, obviously you're fellowship trained, you know, the residents love working with you because you do a lot of trauma, and that certainly is kind of your subspecialty. Would you agree?
Yeah, subspecialty is trauma, and I like sports medicine. I also treat some diabetic patients. I do some salvage work as well. So I do a range of everything, but my subspecialty is definitely sports medicine and trauma, yes.
Wonderful. Now, what maybe others outside the medical community certainly know about you is that you're also a bit of a movie star, too. You know, you're on television, you've been a part of the Hollywood community. Could you please tell us about how and what have you been up to outside of medicine?
Absolutely. So outside of medicine, after the pandemic situation, I mean, it really kind of changed my whole perspective on life, because I was born with a medical condition called Prion-Willi syndrome. And that, in layman's terms, is basically where my urinary tract system wasn't fully developed. So I have a different point of view on life, because I wasn't supposed to make it past the age of 5 years old. And then again, at the age of 25, when I developed stomach cancer. So my whole perspective on life was, you know, just to do everything I could while I'm here, because you never know what tomorrow will bring. So I decided after the pandemic, you know, when things were slow, that I'm going to apply for the game show Survivor. And I just put it out there. I was actually half a bottle of wine deep just to apply, because I never knew exactly what was going to come of it. I just like, you know what, let's try it. And they kept calling me, and I was eventually casted a month and a half later, which was a whole process. I mean, you think residency and fellowship applications are intense. This was intense. Really? Because they're in California time. So I was, after practice, you know, I had to come back home and do interviews until 9, 10 o'clock, and then wake up early for surgery. So it was like, is this worth it in the end? But yeah, I was on season 44 Survivor, and being on that show, one, it definitely broadcasts our profession as podiatrists, you know, because no one's ever known what a podiatrist is. Everyone thinks, you know, we just chip and clip and don't do surgery. And so being on that show, I have tons of patients coming in and say, wait, you do surgery? Wait, you can do that? Yes, absolutely. And so it's amazing to see that. And then of course, with my chronic condition, I've been able to talk to many kids, adults about the condition and how, you know, just having chronic illnesses it's not a death sentence. You can still do what you want to do. And I think it's very important. And us as physicians, I think it's important for burnout as well.
Wow, you hit on a lot of topics there. I will tell you that, so, I mean, obviously that is what this topic is about, you know, for this podcast is How do physicians, with disabilities, which a lot of us, have disabilities, but we don't necessarily, people don't know, whether it's, a psychiatric disability or whatever it may be, or a physical disability, people don't necessarily know. And oftentimes physicians are kind of held up in the public light as you have to be absolutely this standard or whatever. And there's nothing that can ever be wrong. You can't have anything going on in your life. And so I love the idea of you being able to talk a little bit about what you just shared. Thank you for sharing, kind of what you were born with and how that has molded you. So that's what I want to kind of dive into. How has this changed you as a person?
Like what you're hearing? Go ahead and subscribe so you never miss an episode again. Now, let's continue to connect on today's topic.
It's changed me as a person since I was born, because I knew I was different at that point in time. Because at 5 years old, I was always, that's when you kind of start talking and kind of remembering things and knowing who you are. And I knew I was different because I was always in the hospital every month getting checkups. I wasn't able to do certain things my brothers could do. I was a middle child, so being very competitive with two brothers, they were always trying to beat up on me in wrestling and doing football. But with me, with a renal disorder, I couldn't do any high impact things. So I was always kind of the sick kid when I was growing up, that no one wanted to play with because they were afraid that I would break. And so I didn't have many friends. So I kind of dove into my studies, and that's how I realized I was kind of really intelligent, and I could really dive into the books. I started talking to teachers, and they were kind of putting that in my head, like, you can be somebody. Don't let these other kids fool you. Like, in a couple of years, they won't be anybody. So, and it kind of stuck in my head, like, okay, I can do this, like, just because I'm different. And so I went and dove into my studies, and I was like, I'm going to medical school. I'm going to do this. So I wanted to be a nephrologist because of my renal disorder. I had a kidney transplant at the age of 9 by a Sorry, side note. I had a kidney transplant at the age of 9 at University of Pittsburgh Medical Center. And being around my nephrologist at that time, I wanted to be a nephrologist. I wanted to do
Course.
being, but then realizing the intense schooling and dedication I need to do, and with my condition, I realized I didn't, that's a lot. And I don't know if I will make it that long. And so having my uncle as a podiatrist, who was a very positive role model in my life, he really stimulated me to push the boundary further and go into medicine and kind of do what he's doing. And that allowed me to have control of my life. I could do surgery, I could just do clinic, I could focus on sports medicine, diabetic limb salvage, et cetera, the list goes on, as we know. So with that, I decided to, push the boundaries on that and go to one of the most prestigious programs in the country, which is West Penn. And so when I got into medical school, having my uncle as a podiatrist, he told me, like, West Penn, PI, JPS, et cetera, those are really big programs. So you want to push, if you're going to do it, do it. So I guess, long story short, what I'm trying to say is, having this chronic condition and not knowing how much time I would have, I always wanted to excel and be the best I could be, but know my boundaries and limits, as I don't want to work myself to death. I don't want to always be working and not be able to enjoy the life that was given to me, that I am blessed with, because I wasn't supposed to be here. And the girl who gave me her kidney, her name's Kristen Regal. She's 15 years old. She died in a car accident. She didn't get a life. She never had that opportunity. So it's always my mantra, my feeling, that I need to live my life for her. And so patients do think that we should never have a life, that we should always be on them 24/7. But from my standpoint, I think it's important to have vacation. I think it's important to go skydiving if you want to go skydiving. I think it's important to, take that vacation that you've always wanted to with your significant other, because tomorrow is never promised. And while I love what I do, I love helping people, because that's what was done for me, I still need to put me first, because without me being healthy, I can't help my patients.
That's
So
right.
that's kind of what I always want to preach and just tell other physicians out there. And just, I think that's important, just to take a little bit of healthy time for yourself.
Oh gosh. Well,
Adrian, I'm talking to
I'm
you.
nodding. I was gonna say, I am nodding in agreement. You know how I feel about this. Like, so far beyond work-life balance, this is the way of life. I love that.
Sure.
I love you as a human being. I really do. And just everything that you're saying. And it's so encouraging. It's because, all of us kind of we carry things, we carry things and we have stories that people don't know. They haven't read our books, so to speak, And so
Right.
for you to be able to share that. So I mean, gosh, I feel like I was going to ask, how have you triumphed over this? But good Lord, I mean, you're just a walking testimony.
Oh, absolutely. I try to live every day to the fullest, you know?
Yeah.
Have to. Because what's the alternative?
That is true. And I like the way that you put it. You said, because I wasn't supposed to be here. And the girl that gave me her kidney, she's not here. And I think sometimes, especially kind of, Western-based culture, we spend so much time, revolving everything around our jobs that we forget that if we weren't physicians, we are still people.
We're still people.
We are
Yes,
still people.
we're people first. I mean, we have the same blood, you know? So it's, yeah, you're right. Yes.
Well, let me ask you this much. You have done a lot of big things, and I mean, obviously we're on a podcast, so they can't necessarily see, kind of you interacting right now as video, but your picture will be posted. But what are some of the things that you've wanted to do? Like, whether it's, getting on Mount Everest or if it's, traveling the world, what are some of those things that you said, whether it's in your profession or not, that you said, this is a triumph for me? What are some of the things?
So, absolutely. So young, when I was younger in school, the biggest triumph was becoming a doctor. You know, because having my uncle as a physician, I knew what he went through. I saw his struggles, even as a black man. So I was like, okay, I want to be a doctor because I want to help people who look and sound like me. And that was one. And then two, I wanted to be able to travel the world and not think of money, like not struggle. I wanted to do what I wanted to do when I wanted to do it. Not
Sure.
have to worry about it. And I
Sure.
knew that meant putting the work in now when I had the time. Later, you know, you can do what you want to do for sure.
Yeah. Play with bigger toys later.
Yes, exactly. And of course, the American dream is always on someone's mind. Having the house, having the white picket fence, having the wife, husband, kids, you know, just to always be loved by and loved.
Want to receive a monthly newsletter with topics from the Insured Connection? Head over to pikagroup.com/insuredconnection and join our email list to have it delivered right to your inbox.
Yeah, I've always wanted to do skydiving, which is checked off the bucket list for sure. And I've always loved the game show Survivor, and I never thought I would be able to do that. So just having that mindset that I'm just going to do this and do it, that just makes me want to do even more. So my list is just growing of what things that I can do, and the list is endless now.
Yeah,
So.
that's what I was curious. I was like, now that you have been on Survivor, now that you are a physician, a successful and a very, I mean, you're going, and you've been traveling the world, you've been doing all these different things. At some point, do you consider telling your story to encourage others as well?
Yes, and I've already started doing that. After the game show, a lot of people have reached out, including the National Kidney Foundation. And so I've done some collaborative work with them. I've also been to local schools, and talked to the kids who are like middle school, high school about podiatry, about medicine, about the impact of being in an environment where those who look like me
Yes.
aren't as supported and how. What's the word? Shoot, inclusion is important. Like seeing yourself out there is important. So, I mean, those who were younger that looked like me on TV and see me on TV, they never thought they could do that because they never saw themselves there.
That's right.
And growing up, I never saw, you know, a black man on TV playing this game as much. And then now that I'm out there, now I can do the same thing for others, same as being a physician. Like if you don't see yourself in that role as a mentor or as a word, then you wouldn't want to do it. So yeah, I'm definitely getting out there and speaking. I would love to, you know, speak at certain events with, you know, ACFAS, APMA, get on certain boards. So that's my next step, kind of getting into the politics of our profession and really pushing the boundaries with who we are.
I love
And
that.
letting people know about the inequities.
Yes, I love that. I absolutely love that. Well, I will tell you that I know anyone who's going to be listening to this podcast, this is going to definitely be one of those ones, you know, that everyone's going to say, man, this is a you're such a feel-good person who's got purpose. You know, that's kind of the, yes, that's definitely a take-home point for you, you know, and I'm not biased. But I do want to say thank you so much for one, kind of opening up your book to us so that we could know who you are, who you really are beyond the white coat. And there's so much. You'll probably be back on the show, you know, multiple times on the podcast, obviously, is because there's just a lot of information that you can give and many different perspectives, you know. And so I love that about you. So with that, I will say thank you, Dr. Wilder, so much for joining us. And we look forward, you know, to bringing you back on in the future.
This is great. I would love to come back. This is amazing.
Thank you. So for everyone listening, just keep an eye out. You know, typically we release them on Wednesdays, and just go ahead and look to our podcast, The Insured Connection, and we will see you tuned for the next podcast. Have a great one.
I know.
And that's it for this week's episode. But let's continue connecting. If you're enjoying The Insured Connection, don't forget to leave a review on your streaming platform and subscribe now so you can connect with us each time we post a new episode. To stay connected with us throughout the week and to tell us topics we should discuss on future episodes, go to pikagroup.com/insuredconnection.